the question was asked, being that everything in the world was created by Hashem, was created through Torah, was everything has an aspect that it's holy, that it's godly. So then why are we limited and told not to say words of Torah in the bathroom? That's the question. Or think Torah in the bathroom. Before I address the question, I want to discuss a concept in our own growth, in a person's own spiritual and observance growth. In my experience, I haven't seen this written anywhere, but in my experience, growth is like a cycle. It's an upward cycle. If you've ever seen the sign by the barber that twirls and it looks like it's always going up, right? But so that type of upward spiral is what I've seen our spiritual growth to be. And what I mean by that is that you build. So you build level one of understanding in Judaism, and then level two, and then level three, and then level four, and then level five. As you build, at some point you come full circle and you find you have to rebuild level one. You find that you thought level one was understood, it's a given. And you thought you had level two because you're already up to level eight. But suddenly at level eight, you look back at level one and you say, wait, my understanding of level one was so low when I first built it. I have to start from scratch. You've come full circle on a higher level. And you have to rebuild level one and level two again, working your way up. And then you'll again find yourself having to rebuild level one again. And this is true about many concepts of Judaism. One of the concepts is the one you just raised, where today you're asking it on one level. As you grow and learn and evolve in your understanding of Torah, you'll come back to this question. You'll have it again. And that's I think that's the way it's supposed to be. You can say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and understand it in 5th grade, and suddenly you hit 8th grade and you have more questions about it, and then you hit 12th grade and you have more questions about it, and each time you answer those questions hopefully and move on, but then you come back to it on a much higher level and you feel like it has to be, I would use a term which is inaccurate, but perhaps it helps us understand it, it has to have greater sophistication. It's not true that it has to have greater sophistication. It's that on a new level, the question arises again. And you have to, on a higher level, understand it. It's not just a question of sophistication. So, on the basic level, which is important, a person can detach himself from the world. A person, let's take a doctor. Okay, a doctor is used to touching people's private parts. A doctor is used to seeing all kinds of gory things. So I know a guy who was in medical school, and he was about to get engaged, or he was just after he got engaged, and the girl came by the dorm. And he said, just a second. And he picked up a skull and he said, I have to put this in the freezer. And she said, ah! And he's like, oh, this scares you? I'm sorry. he's thinking, he had some homework. He had this skull at home. he was doing stuff for medical school. And he wasn't sensitive to the idea that it could scare the wits out of her. He said, you have to treat it respectfully. It's a donor or whatever. And she's like, put it away. Put it away. Just, okay, we understand there. But that's true in many areas of life. A person that's in building is used to the dirt that's on his hands. We can get accustomed to things that other people aren't. I remember we had a problem in our sewage. So I called a friend of mine who's a plumber. And he comes without gloves and he sticks his hand in straight into the toilet. Right. Yeah. Right. He's like, he's dealing with it all the time. He says, yeah, I found the problem. Thank you. Right. So I said to myself afterwards, if he's dealing with this all day, so I get, after he finished dealing with it, he washed his hands with soap. He was very clean. But when he was working, like he didn't, that wasn't, we can understand that sometimes a person can view things from their aspect, which is unsensitive to other people's aspect. So on the first level, I think every person understands that the bathroom and the excrement that comes from a person is something that's not nice, that's not pleasant, that the idea that we can say all of it is a creation of God doesn't change the idea that we are revolted by it. And so out of respect for the words of Torah, we don't say it in the presence of things that are revolting. That's on a basic level. Okay? Now let's move forward a little bit more. What's the difference between someone who's sweating, who's standing next to you in shul, and the bathroom? Well, the bathroom represents decay. The bathroom is the food, it's the excrement, it's what a person doesn't need anymore in their body. So, in the bathroom, the Torah says, when you go out to war, make sure that you have a shovel. And when you do your bodily needs, you dig, you bury, you cover, because Hashem is in your camps, and your camps have to be holy. It's a pasuk in Ki Teitze. The Torah says that. So what's unholy about excrement? So the Torah is telling us it doesn't work that way. If we look in Ezekiel, so the Talmud derives from the verse in Ezekiel, in Yechezkel, that if the Jewish people are going to eat their bread and it's dirty, because the Navi is describing to them that when they go in exile, they won't have ordinary ovens. They're going to have to bake their bread in the dirt. They're going to dig a pit, make a fire, bake their bread there, and the bread will be not only dusty, but it'll have stones in it. So the Navi Yechezkel is told to make his bread that way, so that the Jewish people will see how they will eat it on their way to exile. And the Navi is told, "Kacha yochelu v'nei Yisrael et lachmam tameh." This is how the Jewish people will eat their bread defiled. The Talmud says, from here you understand that something dirty is called defiled. It's not just physical dirt. There's a spiritual aspect to it too. From here we learn in the halacha that after you wash your hands for bread, if you don't dry them, you can't yet eat the bread. You ever shake someone's hand after they wash their hands and their hands are still wet? Feels all clammy and dirty. But it's clean. He just washed his hands with soap. Right, but he didn't dry them. So from here we learn halacha that hands that were washed but not dried are also called defiled. That's why we make the blessing al netilat yadayim after washing, before drying our hands. Because we say we haven't finished cleaning them till they're dry. But they're clean. No, they're not. They're partially clean.
You make the breath after you dry them?
Before you dry them. Because they're clean enough, you just clean them, but they're not dry. So if you would start eating your food with wet hands, it's not called completely clean. So this idea, again, we see from here that the idea of cleanliness is also an element of spirituality. That we view things that are unclean is also being defiled. I think everyone would agree that the most major form of something not clean is excrement. And that's even if you work in a what do they call it, where they put the babies after the babies are born, nursery, I don't know.
And the infant ward,
and your job is changing diapers. That's all you do all day. Bottom line, you could change 100 and 200 babies' diapers a day. Everyone knows that that's not clean. So the idea is the Torah taught us that wherever we're going to say Hashem's name has to be holy. And if it's that level of dirt, in other words, if there's excrement there, then you're not supposed to say Hashem's name, you're not supposed to learn Torah, because part of the idea is that when we learn Torah, we say Hashem is present. And Hashem says, you say Torah, I come. You learn Torah, I'm there. You say a blessing, I'm there. Don't do it where you can't, where it's a filthy place where I don't belong. Okay?